if I could summarize quickly what we had in the first study and then mention two points that came up after the last study, and we were also talking about them a little over lunch. And there may be questions that are valuable for all of us. So maybe some other people thought about this too. So the Nazirite is it's an Old Testament vow. It's a voluntary vow that is given through the Lord, through Jehovah, to Moses as a pattern for the Israelites in this book of Numbers, this book of conflict with the world. And we had seen that we are to abstain from, or a Nazirite is supposed to abstain from wine or strong drink, and then anything that's even related to the grape or the fruit of the vine. And we had said that that is anything that is going to have an influence over us, anything that controls us. And we also made the point that this is natural or earthly pleasure. And that's there's one point related to that. And then we said that there was also the need for the Nazirite to have his head or his hair grow, and then it would be shaved off at the end when the vow was complete. And we said that that was a sign of submission, and it was sort of a long-term submission to God, because it wasn't something that you could just do for a short period of time. So two questions came up. One was about this thought of how long is Nazirite-ship for us as Christians today? Because it says that, in verse 20 after that, the Nazirite may drink wine. The question came up, well, we sort of assumed that this is a lifelong thing for the Christian, but what do we really base that on? And I just want to mention that again. I think we'll see it more when we talk about Samson, because Samson's a picture for us because he was a Nazirite from birth. Jesus was a Nazirite all his life. We've seen that. So we'll talk more about what it means to be a Nazirite all your life as a Christian when we talk about Samson. But just to mention that the Nazirite is someone who is separated, and Nazaritism, or this Nazirite-ship, isn't a doctrine in itself. Doctrine we get from the New Testament. And so, for example, Paul tells us to be separated from things in this world that would hinder us. We're also told in Hebrews to go outside the camp. Those ideas of separation in the New Testament are really what we talk about when we mean separation. And so Nazirite-ship is more a picture that helps us understand what that is. So that's one point, Nazirite-ship being lifelong. We'll talk about that more, I think, with Samson. The other question was, I think, kind of important, because we emphasized a lot that Nazirite-ship means to stay away from or abstain from worldly pleasures. And the question was a good one, is why then do we have taste buds? And why do we see in, a full color spectrum? Why don't we just see monochromatic? But why does God give us all of these wonderful things in nature to enjoy? Are we supposed to be like monks, trying to be ascetics or stoics and trying to stay away from all the things that God has given us to get pleasure from? We just enjoyed lunch. Is that wrong? And the point is that there's really two kinds of pleasure that are described symbolically in the Bible. One is described with wine, and that's a joy, but it's also something that can have an influence over you, that can control you. The other kind is described in Proverbs a lot. It's honey. And honey is a picture, I think, of things that we have in creation, in nature, things that we as humans enjoy that are good, but we shouldn't have too much of them. So in Proverbs 24, verse 13, there's the verse. Where we are told, eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. And it's likened to wisdom. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there's a future hope for you. And then in Proverbs 25, verse 27, this idea of of natural pleasure that we shouldn't have too much of is made a little more clear. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. And then there's another verse, I wasn't able to find it, but it's also in Proverbs, that says, have you found honey, my son? Then eat it, but don't eat so much of it that you will get sick. So just to make that distinction, I think, is really important. Because if we start to say that being a Nazarite or being devoted to Christ means that we don't have any pleasure in the world, then we're missing part of the point of what we were created for, to enjoy God's creation. That there is a difference between pleasures that control us, which we want to stay completely away from, even not eating the skin of the grape, versus pleasures that, they won't control us, but if we have too much of it, then we'll get sick from it.
It's good to have these questions. I don't know if there are some others that we can address very shortly, very quickly, and then look into the afternoon portion. But I want us to remember this, that with the wine, the word influence is what's very critical. It's things that have an influence upon me that is going to divert me from being devoted to the Lord. And the reason why wine and strong drink is used here, what we've been saying, there is the natural joy. With wine, there can be the giddiness, there can be the gaiety that's associated with it, and one can very quickly go from it being something that is making the heart glad for it to be influencing me in a manner that is not consistent with the Word of God. So I can then be one who utilizes it to escape from reality, the reality of that which is around us. It can be that which depresses me. We read in Proverbs 20 that strong drink is a rager. So what it can do, if I'm under the influence of it, is I can fly into a rage. So it impacts and influences me, and as a believer living today, we have Ephesians 5. It says that we ought to be filled up with the Spirit of God, meaning under His control. And then with the hair, as we said, is that it was a symbol that was very clearly seen in these days, that here was a man or a woman that was under, acknowledged the lordship, the headship, the authority of another. And when I acknowledge the authority of another, it means I just don't do what I want to do. I'm devoted to that person, and I follow what he has laid out for us. So as believers living today, we ask ourselves, do I acknowledge in a real way as I move at school and home and in your homes with your parents and in the local assembly that I am not under the authority of that person? I'm under the authority of the Lord. So those are some of the key elements we want you to remember. With the wine and the strong drink, it's influence. Am I going to be intoxicated with the things of the world? Or am I going to be controlled by them? Or am I going to be controlled by the Spirit of God and under the authority of the Lord? So I don't know if there was any other questions, but there's been a lot of good discussion about this in our break and lunch. And if you have a question that we can answer quickly, please bring it forward. If not, we'll move into the second part.
The verse on eating honey was Proverbs 25:16. That was the other one. Have you found honey? And then eat just enough, too much of it, and you will vomit. And then, if you look at John the Baptist, who he said was a Nazarite, he ate locusts and wild honey. And the other one was Samson. Samson eats honey. He eats it from the lion's carcass, which is the sin. He defiles himself with that, and we'll see that next. But he eats honey, and that's totally fine. And also his parents, they don't complain about him eating honey at all.